I wonder if you turn with me, please, to the 22nd Psalm, Psalm 22. Just while you're finding those pages, I would like to just pass on my sincere thanks to you all as an assembly for looking after a poor homeless preacher as he was a passing through. My wife joins me in thanking you for looking after me in so many different ways and putting up with me. And we pray that the word shared may indeed grow in our hearts to the glory of the Lord. Psalm 22 and verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am I not silent. But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All they who see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he who took me out of the womb, and didst make me hope upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's body. Not far from me, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around, gaping upon me with their mouths like a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And they count all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. I parted my garments amongst them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, may my only one from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye who fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hidden his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pray my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that are fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness upon a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Turn over, please, to Isaiah and chapter 53. That we will join at the end of verse 12 of 52 for sake of connection. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astounded at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard they shall consider. 53 verse 1, who hath believed our report? But to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, and a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we did hide as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, with his stripes we are healed. Or we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and be satisfied. By this knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Last week, if you were able to share with us, you may remember that we stood around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much on that occasion did we intensify our glance at the cross, or that blessed one on that central cross, but more so at the various individuals around the base of the cross. Those individuals and those groups. We tried to see if we could see one group that would typify us. But tonight I want to zero in, as it were, upon that center cross. It's upon that center cross that our beloved Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for you and for me. It is upon that central cross that they inflicted upon him five different types of wounds. And it's in those five different types of wounds that we're going to discover something of the enormity of the suffering of Christ. Something of the enormity of what he did for you and I. We already read in Isaiah 53 verse 4, how that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. As our dear Morris said in his opening words, he opened not his mouth. And even when that mouth did come open, there was that amazing cry, wasn't there? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. First occasion when they took our Lord Jesus Christ, they bruised him. We have this in verse 5, don't we? I don't know what you think of bruising, but when I talk about bruising, I talk about it as in the New Testament meaning, when he was bruised for our wickedness or our iniquities. And the Jews would take their open hand, as you will read in John 19, verse 3, and they would smack the side of the head so hard that the brain would jolt in its socket. That wasn't enough. Then the Romans, as you'll see in Matthew 27, verse 30, they would smite him with a reed. And these two things combined would bring together something of a sort of a feeling of a concussion, a hemorrhage, a sickness, a headache, double vision, and loss of balance. Can I remind you who they did this to? This was the very Son of God, wasn't it? And by doing that, the Jews and the Romans are represented there as all the generations before and after, as they sought to do away with this man and bruise him. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 24 tells me this, that in all the offerings that were ever brought to the altars in those days, they were never allowed to bring one who was bruised, one who was crushed, one who was cut, one who was broken. Seems to me, dear friend, that these wicked people, including you and I in our sin, would bring to God an offering that was bruised, one that was degraded, and mockingly, as it were, seemingly so, seek to sacrifice it. If this be the Son of God, we'll do our damnedest to him, and we will put him away once and for all and forever. In Isaiah 42, verse 3, I find something so precious. Reiterated again in Matthew 12 and 20, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. My friend tonight, if you're without Christ, you're bruised, you're battered, you're broken, and you're cut. Or you say, Brother Lacey, my body is in fine shape. I've no stitches, I've no scars, I've got no plasters, I've got no and nothing. I'm fine. Well, I have to inform you, it's not on the physical that we're interested in tonight. It is that of a deep, deep, serious spiritual matter. For our blessed Lord Jesus Christ came to preach and to rescue and to free and alleviate those who were bruised. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 tells us that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he was appointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to heal the wounds. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and give sight to the blind and free the bruised. The bruise there means those that are captivated under those who oppress them. If you are without Christ tonight, then, my dear friend, I need to tell you that you are captivated and bruised consistently and continually by the devil himself. The ways often that these things are done is by drugs, by alcohol, by immorality, by general sins and addictions. Anything that substitutes Christ is a bruising from the devil himself. And it will bruise you and it will make you unconscious and it will make you spiritually hemorrhage until you die eternally in hell itself. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, we read that Satan will bruise the heel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first and earliest promise of any hope that came to the sinner came right there. But we also go on to read, thank God, that Christ will crush or bruise the very head of Satan. We may be bruised, we may be downtrodden, we may be cut and crushed, but there is victory in the fact that Jesus Christ has overcome, and although he himself was bruised by wicked man, he has in fact, in dying on Calvary's cross, he has bruised and crushed Satan's head for all time, forever. We are released if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Can you understand that? I dwelt upon these thoughts, tears rolled down my face. And I've been saved a few years. You think they took my blessed Savior and they bruised him. And yet it pleased Almighty God to take his son and allow him to be bruised. That you and I cannot be bruised. That you and I can be healed from the bruising that the devil has done to us. That we might live a life of freedom and separation from all the wickedness of this world. Let us have a look at the second type of wound that they inflicted on our blessed Lord Jesus, shall we? It was that occasion when they lacerated him with those stripes. With those leather strips that are about a meter long. And down the length of them, every now and again at intervals, they would interject pieces of lead. And they would thrash the back of a person, and as they did so, they would draw it downwards, and they'd rip out great strips of flesh. They would only do it 39 times. If they did it 40, you were dead. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, this makes it so personal, doesn't it? This one who was bruised was also scourged for us. When you think of the terrible things that we have done and committed, may not be big in our eyes, but in Almighty God's eyes they are large. Any slight misdemeanor is a huge thing in the sight of God, and there is no way we can come before Almighty God in any shape or form of sin. Indeed, it is us who ought to be scourged, isn't it? In Proverbs chapter 20 verse 30, stripes cleanse the evil from the belly of the wicked. In Proverbs 19 and 29, stripes were for the backs of fools. In Luke chapter 12 verse 47, stripes were also for a disobedient servant. I wonder if there's anybody here who would dare say that I don't deserve a good scourging. You know, even in the hearts of us who are the Lord's, you know, sometimes it is that we could think that the Lord could come down and scourge us, but doesn't he chastise those who he loves? But he doesn't do it out of hatred, does he? He does it out of love. He wants to cleanse us like he sought to cleanse the temple when he had to take and make a small scourge himself to purify that temple in those old days. But today it is that temple which is our body in which he seeks to dwell that needs to be cleansed sometimes, doesn't it? Pray God we may allow him to chastise us as a loving heavenly father chastises a child. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us just that. The Father scourges every son whom he receiveth. It is done in love as a true father. We are told in the Old Testament, you spare the rod and you'll spoil the child. These days in schools throughout the States and England as well, that the European Common Market now has a law that it is impossible for a teacher or a parent to smack its child. What problems we're heaping upon our heads when we don't discipline our children out of love. I know there is that other type of vandalism against children, which is an awful and the most wicked thing. But the chastising love is necessary, and it purges and it purifies. Verse 5 of our chapter that we were reading, he was chastised for our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, when one solemnly thinks of the pain and the anguish of a physical nature that our Lord went through, I bow my head and say again, thank you, Lord. I would ask each one of us here tonight, have we come to a point in our life when we thank the Lord for his physical suffering? Have we come to a point in our life when we thank the Lord for his mental suffering? Have we ever been able to thank the Lord for something that he did that we cannot understand? And that is, him who was sinless was made sin. That great and almighty God and his heavenly Father turned his back upon him while he was on the cross, for he could not look upon sin. And yet he went through all the fire and the awful, awful wrath of a thrice holy God to secure your salvation. To purge you, to clean you, to have you as a new child back to himself. Are you willing to turn around from your rebellious nature? Are you ready to call it quits and stop acting the fool with God? How many times have you heard a gospel service? How many times have your friends witnessed to you? How many times have your parents talked to you concerning the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you allow the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ to go unhealed for your sake? That you can mock, that you can be arrogant, that you can be proud, and pay no heed and attention to what the Lord has done for you? Let us move on. We come now to that occasion when they pierced our blessed Saviour. They pierced him for our conscience sake, didn't they? On three occasions we have it, Zechariah 12:10, and John 19:37, and Revelation 1:7. They shall see him whom they pierced, and mourn and will wail as if wailing for a firstborn child that has died. They shall see him. There is no shadow of doubt. But there is an opportunity, my friend, for you right now to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you say, is he going to walk in through that door? And I don't think so. For none of us have yet seen him, have we? But with the eye of faith, with that inner notion that you have that is stirring in your heart right now, you know that you need to look into the face of the Lord and say, Lord, you carried those wounds for me. Because of my wickedness. Because of my sinful nature. And I want to look upon you on the cross right now while I have a chance. Or it may be in that coming day that when I have to look at you, you will look at me as your great judge that you will be, and you will say, leave, depart from me, I don't know you. Or, my friend, that you should come and look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in this favored time of grace. The first time he came, they rejected him. And it was similar for Moses and Joseph of old, wasn't it? And you remember when those brothers of Joseph came and he made himself known to them? And they wailed with great tears, didn't they? They thought he was going to judge them. He thought he was going to chastise them. Oh, my friend, there'll be no thinking in that day when the Almighty appears and you stand before that great white throne in the glory. And you have to stand there and say, I decided not to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth. How foolhardy. How stupid. How foolish. You know, that word foolish is the strongest word in the vocabulary of the Holy Bible. It is the most wretched and most wicked thing to be, and that is foolish. And to be found in that state by God Almighty on that coming day. He was pierced for you and for me. Psalm 22:16 that we read, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. I want to spend a couple of minutes just looking at his hands, for instance, that they nailed. Isaiah 49:16 tells me, all the precious names of his children are engraved upon his hands. And they took those hands and they nailed them to a tree. In Mark 1:41, he is moved with compassion and he puts forth his hand and he touches him. One of the things that touches me so much with the cross of Christ is that as he went to the cross and while he was on the cross, the number of people that he thought of, that he encouraged. Wasn't it the servant of the high priest, Malchus, whose ear was chopped off by Peter, who he touched his ear? I tell you, he was the most guilty one there that night. Being the very recipient of that last miracle of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and still spurn his love? Blessed hand that touched his head was pierced as it was pierced for you. Psalm 145 verse 16, his open hand to supply every living thing. His hand is open to supply your every need, but essentially, first of all, it needs to be your eternal need, doesn't it? And yet they nailed that hand that supplied all to the cross. But they were a little dim-witted in that area, weren't they? Because there, as those two arms were crucified on that cross, they were outstretched, weren't they? And as those hands were outstretched to receive, weren't they? And I'm inviting you, my dear friend, tonight to come and see those hands outstretched for you. See something of the pain and the agony that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ went through for you. That he might indeed in that coming day put his arms around you and welcome you home for all eternity. They led him out as far as Bethany, tells Luke 24 verse 50. And as he lifted up his hands to bless them, he ascended into the glory to return in a day that we are still expecting. And you know, as those hands were raised, as he saw to bless them, I guess they saw still that nail print hand that we shall see when he comes to meet us in the air. Ever would it have been in their mind, that final look, that final glance, they saw those upraised hands in blessing. My friend, will you see that hand of blessing and welcome? Or will you hear that hand turn over the page of the book of life and say, sorry, I'm sorry your name isn't written within this book. Depart from me. I do not know you. Then we come and have a look at his feet, don't we? And there in Luke chapter 10 verse 39 we find something so precious. Mary is sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Often in the Bible we hear of the need for the Christian to walk with God. On that rare occasion in Psalm 46 verse 10 we hear, be still and know that I am God. Tonight we have the occasion in reverence and quietness before God to realize that this one who was pierced and wounded for us is the very same one who was nailed to a tree. It's the very same one who we can now come to at the feet of the cross and bow our knee and humble ourselves before Almighty God. In John 11 verse 32, Mary also fell at his feet and sought sympathy as she wept for Lazarus who had departed. How much time do we spend at the foot of our Lord Jesus Christ in humility, seeking his love, seeking his care, seeking his affection? It's there for the asking, isn't it? And also there in John 12 verse 3 we have Mary worshipping at the feet, anointing the feet of our blessed Lord. Humbly we bow in worship before one who was wounded for me. Luke chapter 2 verse 35 is in actual fact the first sad note in the New Testament. And it tells us there that by Simeon's prophecy that Mary's thoughts of her soul would be pierced as it were with a sword. what the thought of my heart is tonight is, has your heart this evening been pierced by a sword? Has your conscience been pricked to the dire straits in which our Lord Jesus Christ went to seek your redemption, to buy you back by his precious blood, to cleanse you by his precious blood, that you could escape such a damnation and such hurt and such mental and such spiritual persecution for all eternity? May God awaken our consciences, our spiritual consciences, and pierce our hearts tonight to realize more fully what it meant to him to die on the cross for you and I. We come then to that occasion when they crowned his head with the crown of thorns, and they penetrated that blessed flesh upon his head, all the excruciating agony of it. John 19 verse 5 tells us he went forth wearing the crown of thorns. That was after they had assaulted him, after they had bruised him, after they had hit him with that reed. They gave him then a crown of mockery. I'm glad to tell you, my friend, it never stopped there. My blessed Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he was made lower than the angels for the purpose of your suffering, for the purpose of being wounded for your sakes and my sakes, because he tasted death for every man by the grace of God. Revelation 19 verse 12 tells me that he is going to be crowned that monarch, that King of Kings, and that Lord of Lords, with many crowns upon his head. My friend, what I want you to do tonight to save your precious soul from hell itself is to crown Jesus Christ Lord of your life tonight. Young man, young woman, girlfriend, boyfriend, young husband, young wife, I appeal to you. Is Christ the Lord of your lives? Is Christ the Lord of your courtship? Is Christ the Lordship of your marriage? Your business partnership? Your aims and desires and ambitions of life, are they the Lord's? As the Christian life goes on, you know, and as Paul records in the New Testament, the epistles, on three occasions he asked God to relieve that thorn that was piercing his flesh. That thorn which we can talk of, as it were, as the cross that we need to bear. But so easy is it, isn't it, for us to shirk carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That burden, that affliction that he has placed upon us in order that he might draw us closer. In Exodus chapter 21 verse 6 we hear of the ear being pierced, which is quite a modern thing in this day and age, isn't it? But I wonder truly what we know of the pierced ear according to scripture. By piercing the ear and putting an earring in it, you are saying that you are a servant and a slave to something or somebody. Is it that you're saying that you're a servant and a slave to Jesus Christ who was wounded for you? Is it declaring that you are the slave of materialism? Is it saying that you are the slave to drugs or to drink or to tobacco smoke? Or to the pop music of this world? The idleness and the wasting of time? That we may have our ear pierced and be a slave for Jesus Christ's sake, who was so wounded for you and for me. Finally, in John 19, verse 34, we read that they pierced him, they cut him open with a spear. That spear went through his side and up into his heart, and out of that heart they gushed the life blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Little did he realize what he was doing. Shedding the blood of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, that fountain flowed, and it was not lost in the sod of the earth. It is powerful today as the day it was shed. It is potent today as the day it was shed. It can not only cleanse you, but it can keep you clean until we meet him face to face and see those wounds afresh that marks him out to be our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who was marred more than any man. Man of God, who became the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, it tells us that when they heard these things as I told you them this evening, they were cut to their heart. My friend, tonight, we've spoken of the spiritual conscience being pricked. Have you been also cut to your heart? To think that wicked man could take hold of the very Son of God and bruise him, lacerate him, pierce him and cut him to pieces, rip the very hair out of his face and plait a crown of thorns. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that as his precious blood was poured forth, so he was pouring forth his life, which was a sacred savour and ointment to Almighty God. As he poured forth his life to Almighty God, it was a fragrant offering and a fragrant sacrifice. Friends, tonight, are we willing to pour out our life for one who poured out his life for us? We will never ever go through anything that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. And what we will go through, we will always have the knowledge that he has gone through it and so much worse and knows what it's like. And so he will not allow us, knowing us more than we know ourselves, to allow us to endure the inflictions more than what we can bear. We have such a sensitive, precious Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Not only as a Savior, but also as a great High Priest. It is this same one that we need to come to tonight, isn't it? And allow our spirits to take on the Lord Jesus Christ and pour us forth and make us a blessed, sweet fragrance into Almighty God. We have viewed something, I believe, so serious tonight. It demands a solemn response, not from our head, not with our actions, but with our hearts and our spiritual conscience. Will you do that for Christ's sake? Wounded for me.